Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Glad to be here with you on a Friday. TGIF, Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here. And it is going to be a fun Friday, as always, because we're making some football picks. We're getting you ready for a football weekend. Max Power is in. He's on the IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6, Monday through Friday. We also will give away some HTO later in the program. We'll bring in our pals Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland, Paul Savage to make some football picks this weekend. You can leave us your comments and commentary on our video streams and Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. That's all available for you. We appreciate you watching on 12 News Connected Plus as well. All kinds of good stuff for you, Tommy. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, happy Friday. I know that we're getting ready for a big football weekend, and I'm sure our show will be dominated by that today. But how about some playoff baseball last night? That was so much fun to watch both games. Well, I mean, you know, obviously the Dodgers and Mets was kind of a blowout, but it was, you know, an offensive onslaught from the Dodgers. But how about that Yankees and Guardians game last night? I love playoff baseball, so I don't want to forget about what's going on in the world of baseball, even though the Royals are out of it. And I know we're getting ready for football, but man, last night was fun.
Yeah, it was wild. I was trying to keep up with it. We had the school did a drive-in movie night for the kids, so I was out there trying to keep up with that. Just, you know, keeping up with alerts and seeing it in the late home runs. I know I missed a dramatic one, and you had the star power come out in it, right? You had late home runs from Stanton and Judge and then Noel.
Noel's home run, I mean, overshadowed wild. Anything that Judge and Stanton did. I mean, the Guardians were down to their final out and, you know, risked falling behind 3-0 to the Yankees. And, you know, Noel hit a game tying home run in the bottom of the ninth. There was a no doubter. The bat flip was, you know, one of the best I've seen in quite some time, probably up there with Jose Bautista's a few years ago. And then the walk off from David Fry in extras, really gave the Guardians life. That was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I thought Noel was going to hit that out of the stadium.
Yeah.
But I always think he's going to hit it out of the stadium when he swings the bat. He's just a massive, massive human. That's what you hope for, and it keeps the Guardians alive.
I know why they call him Big Christmas, by the way. I know why that's his nickname now after watching him hit that home run.
Yeah, it took one of those games against the Royals. When I heard his nickname the first time, I think my instant reaction was that's the most perfect nickname I've ever heard in my life.
For sure. 100%. On top of that, and you know, a lot of times these people don't get a lot of attention unless it's bad attention or negative attention. Brian Anderson, the play-by-play guy, probably the best right now calling baseball. I mean, his home run calls last night in that game were incredible. Again, of course, everybody is focused on, at least in this area, Bob Costas calling the Royals games in that series in the ALDS. But Brian Anderson, man, he called a great game last night. He's been doing that for a while.
Yeah, he's good. They're all good. Costas was and I love Costas. That was weird in that series. I'm not sure what that was. But yeah, playoff baseball is fantastic, and that's what you hope for. You hope for that kind of drama. And we'll see if it continues, and we'll see if the Guardians climb back into that series, if that's the spark they needed. The other big news yesterday was Tony Bennett, which we'll get to that. In fact, we can do it here because I do want to dig a little deeper into the Chiefs and 49ers because we've got injury news there for the Chiefs that is of, I would say, pretty major significance. But as we're kind of hodgepodging these other stories, let's look at Tony Bennett here. So retires abruptly, steps away right before the season. You know, he's not an old guy. He's not a young guy, but he's not an old guy. And I think anytime I hear that, my fear is somebody's sick. You mentioned that there have been some other coaches that think it's just the state of college athletics and all that stuff. And that got us talking last night. I don't look if these guys don't want, and I don't know why Bennett retired. Is he announcing that today?
Yeah. In fact, it came from, I mean, the school put out a notice last night that he would be announcing his retirement in a press conference today.
Yeah. We'll get the reason today. I hope it's not his health. If it's the state of college athletics, I simply say you had a nice run and I'm glad you're able to step aside, but it's time for you to step aside. Like I don't have much time for the sympathy to the old guard who can, we've seen this now a number of times, who just doesn't want to deal with the changes. Like, good, bye. Like, to some degree, that's been a part of the problem for all these years. Like, you've made tens and tens of millions of dollars. And I'm not talking about Bennett specifically, but it brings up that conversation again. I mean, I might be talking about Bennett. We'll see what he says today. But like, you've made tens and tens of millions of dollars. Your athletes have made nothing above the table. If you can't get on board with that, it's time for you to go. Like, you need to go now because this is changing and it doesn't do any good to complain about it. You can either get on board with it or you can step aside. Your time has passed. And so we'll see. But, as we get all the comparisons and all the, the hand wringing for, Krzyzewski and we lost Boeheim and we lost, all these great coaches and Nick Saban stepped away. I'm like, the playing field got leveled and they're old enough. They don't want to deal with it. Like, good for them for being able to do it. But I don't have any sympathy for that. Like, goodbye. Like, it's time for the players to earn. It's been too long anyway.
It's been confirmed by multiple sources that there is no health-related issue that relates to why Tony Bennett is stepping down. That's been reported by outlets like ESPN and NBC Sports. We'll find out for sure, I think, at Bennett's press conference today. So knowing that, first off, good that there's no health-related issue that's causing him to step down. It's interesting because he signed a contract extension that would tie him through the university through the 2030 season just a few months ago. And so, I mean, that's interesting timing, and it's for sure interesting knowing that it came just a couple of weeks before the season begins. So it makes me wonder if, something has happened with his program, with his team, with the way that, maybe he disagrees with the direction. And it could very well be overall in college athletics or college basketball, but really relating to his specific program. I don't know if it's NIL. I don't know if it has anything to do with the conference that they're in. I have no idea, but we'll, I'm sure, get more information on that a little bit later on today.
Yeah, look, it's that's what the thing, when I saw Bennett, I to me, it's like, there's no way it's that, because he could have done that after this year, right? Like, he just, like, at some point, you don't make that call, I don't think, a week before the season. So that's why that part of it, that didn't enter my head until you start reading and people are speculating that's what it is. And I'm like, well, why now though? Unless something has happened that has made it urgent, right? And that's what makes me think something else is in play with him. And I like Tony Bennett.
Like what?
His story of his, what's that?
Like what? If something else is in play.
I don't know.
Like,
something with the family. Who knows? It could be anything. Anything could happen at a snap that would make you say, okay, I've got to redirect my focus here. And I think that is perfectly okay. It doesn't make as much sense to me to go down the path of some of the other guys who just are like, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I want to do. Which, by the way, I got no problem with doing that. But I'm not going to sit here and blame college athletics for that. The game has changed. We all adapt or die. Tommy, you're in radio. Is radio different in 2024 than it was in 1994 and 2004?
Yeah, it's different than it was in 2023. I mean, it continues.
What would happen if you were just like, nah, this isn't the way I want to do it?
The world moves on. The world moves on. I am willing to maybe extend slightly more, and I don't even want to call it sympathy, but slightly more, maybe empathy would be the word, to Tony Bennett. Not long term, not forever, but at least in the moment, like, hey, you had a lot of success at Virginia. You led them to a national title. And really, I guess maybe that empathy could be extended more towards the people who will directly have to deal with the fallout of this, you know, and the supporters of the program, you know, that have to pick up the pieces. Because remember, the way that it works now in college basketball or college athletics is that when a head coach leaves, the transfer portal opens for 30 days for the players that are in that program.
It's going to be brutal.
So there's going to be a domino effect.
Tony Bennett knows that, right? Yeah. That's why I don't think this is any of what we're talking about, because that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that he'd be like, yeah, the game's changed too much. I don't want to do this anymore, which we've seen from other big time coaches. And again, it's fine if you want to do that, but you're not going to catch like me, you know, just, oh, I can't believe we lost another like that. And that's not Tony Bennett here, I don't think, because it doesn't make sense, because he knows the transfer portal is going to open. He doesn't have any interest in this program. He cares so much about going through that type of hardship. Something has happened, I think, and we'll find out.
Wait, you don't think he cares that the program is going to be going through that?
Yes. That's why I think that it's not something so simple as, I just don't want to deal with college athletics anymore. I'm saying he does care about that. That's why I am a little nervous about what we're going to hear, because I'm afraid something has happened with him. And that was my initial fear from the beginning with health. And if it's not health, then what is it? It's something. It's not just nothing, I don't think. Again, we're all speculating on that. My point is, immediately you get a lot of people when they see this going down that other road of how college athletics is getting ruined. College athletics is in a time of change. There's always going to be messiness in a time of change. That doesn't mean the change is bad. It means you have to get to the end of the road. But if you can't embrace the change, the game has passed you by. Like, it just has.
And by the way, the speculation that has sort of swirled about potentially unhappiness with the landscape in college athletics and this new world of NIL and all of that, some of that comes from an interview that happened yesterday after the news broke. This interview was with Jim Boeheim, former head coach at Syracuse. He did an interview with Jeff Goodman about Tony Bennett, and Boeheim said, and I quote, "We lost one of our great coaches solely because of the landscape that is college basketball. Our leadership has to stop focusing on how much money we can make and find a way to get the student athletes on board with an answer for NIL." And so that has kind of been picked up and ran with as, you know, the deciding factor, the sole reason that Tony Bennett is walking away. We don't know that for sure. That's, you know, an opinion from Jim Boeheim, who also walked away from the game. Yeah. He was at the tail end of his career, you know, don't get me wrong, but that's clearly his opinion on what happened. Unless he has inside information and has directly spoken to Tony Bennett, we don't know that. Again, the press conference is at 11 o'clock today. I'm sure we'll know more then.
I wonder if Jim Boeheim ever, you know, held Syracuse hostage in a contract negotiation. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if he ever made it difficult on his administrators to get his salary paid and raise the money. And he wasn't one of the highest paid coaches. But I mean, come on now. Like, we need to focus. No, the focus has changed. These coaches are some of the highest paid people on the planet. And they want the focus changed now when then there are other people trying to focus on how to pay other people in. Andrew does not like this conversation from me. He says, big words coming from a guy who's never worked in major college athletics. I've covered major college athletics for the last 20 years. Major brain drain, and we'll continue to see downsides from year to come. Am I supposed to have sympathy, Andrew? Like, am I supposed to, you know, oh my gosh, I just cannot believe these coaches and administrators who make 6 and 7 figures now have to work harder. Yeah, there's a lot that comes with that job. There's a lot that comes with any job. But guess what? If they don't want to do it, if Tony Bennett doesn't want to do it, if Jim Boeheim doesn't want to do it, somebody else does. And that's how the world works. And somebody else is going to step in and do the job. So, no, I get it. There's major brain drain. I get it. It's a pain in the butt right now to deal with NIL and the portal. Figure it out. That's not those players' problem. It's not that program's problem. It's not the fans' problem. You got to figure out how to work within the system. And is it perfect? Of course it's not perfect, but it's better than it was before. Absolutely, without question.
I also want to bring up that this is nothing new. I mean, yeah, the landscape is different with NIL and the portal and all of that, but coaches have been leaving college basketball and college football, for that matter, for years, for decades, to go to the professional ranks. You know, look at a guy like Billy Donovan, who won national titles at Florida. He got out of the college world and went to the NBA. And, you know, he's probably one of the outliers because not everybody has success. It's kind of rare when that happens. Calipari didn't have success in the NBA. On the football side, Nick Saban didn't have success in the on the NFL side. But I guess understand why coaches would want to go and do that, even like a couple of decades ago before this whole landscape changed. Because like if you're going to coach at that level, you do get a little bit of an off season, right? Like you get to just kind of hang out and not have to worry. It's not a 12-month out of the year job where in with recruiting in the college world and all of that. And then, of course, now you add on the NIL part of it and the fact that you've got a portal and you've got to manage and put together a roster and rebuild basically every single year. It is a nonstop position now, right? And so I get why coaches, even if they're at the a lot of money, would be like, man, I kind of want to go to the next level. I kind of want to go. Like we're basically in professional sports now anyway in college athletics. It does. I do agree. One thing that Andrew said that I do agree with him at the very end of his comment was that players should be paid, but it should be structured. And I think that that's a big issue that obviously we know. Like there's not the structure that ultimately there needs to be. There's got to be an overhaul of all of that so everybody can be on the same page and understand the way that it all works. That hasn't happened yet. I can absolutely sympathize with coaches and understand how that could be frustrating because there isn't that overarching structure in place to make it all equitable, make it all, you know, basically work the way that it should.
I agree. That doesn't change the fact that if you don't want to deal with it, great, go do something else. But I'm not going to say it's ruining college athletics. College athletics will be better for it. And like, I know Andrew doesn't think I have any knowledge on this, as he points out in another comment. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been covering this. I've watched legendary coaches be fired for fronting the money for a player at a baseball game during a conference media day. Literally, that happened. Like the system has been so jacked up and broken for so long, and a lot of these legends out there have jobbed the system. If you don't think Nick Saban's players ever got paid, ask Nick Saban's players that have all come out and said they got paid. Like, give me a break. The playing field got leveled on him. He didn't want to deal with it anymore. Good for him. He's earned the right. He's the GOAT. Go do something else. I don't have sympathy, though, for anybody that doesn't want to embrace this change, because we all have to embrace change in our careers, in our lives. And if we don't, and it happens all the time, happens in our industry, there's a lot of people that are like, yep, don't want to do that anymore, and they step away. I'm very happy for them that they're able to do that. We're not all so fortunate. Some of us have to adapt, or we die, and we get passed up. That's all this, like, if you don't want to do it, there's guys like Bill Self, a part of the old guard, who thrive in this, who embrace this change. There's a, you know, like more good for him.
I think he likes that it's all out in the open now, you know, that it's all, he doesn't have to hide it anymore, right? He doesn't have to try to operate, you know, behind the scenes and have, you know, middlemen to take care of. Like it's all kind of out there and really above board now. And I think that, yeah, he's different, I think, than the other guys that we've mentioned, Coach K and Roy Williams and all of that, that, you know, they I think preferred it to be in the shadows. Because they were good at that. I think they preferred that.
Yeah, look, and Rick says, and Rick always is team old school college. He says, Andrew's right. Neither of you care about the student in free education. Oh. You're right, Rick. We don't care about the student because we want the student to be compensated right for their work. We don't care about the student. Right.
That's ridiculous. That and I'll tell you, Rick, like what I do care about and what I've cared about for a long time are these major institutions profiting millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on the backs of these students who get nothing. They get a free education. Sure, that's great. But they are being compensated they had been being compensated in no way, shape, or form. I care about that. And I'm happy that now they're in a position to actually earn because they're putting their bodies on the line week in and week out, day after day, for them to actually be able to share in that a little bit. Yeah, I clearly don't care about them, Rick.
They get the privilege, Tommy, to go earn that university millions of dollars. That's a privilege.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's a privilege. We should all be so privileged to go work for free. None of us would do that, by the way, if the tables were turned. Does anybody think college football, Kansas State football's any worse this year because Avery Johnson's compensated?
Nope. And does anybody sit and watch any of these games now and don't enjoy it as much because they know that these players in some cases are making some money? Avery Johnson makes a lot of money to be the quarterback at Kansas State. Does anybody sit there and be like, you know what? I don't enjoy this game as much because I know that he's getting, that's ridiculous. That's crap.
Yeah, it's, and so we'll see what I really am nervous about the Tony Bennett thing. Cause I'm afraid something's happened because it doesn't make a lot of sense what Jim Boeheim is speculating there. I hope that's not the case. But I kind of do hope it's the case. Cause I don't want to hear that something bad's happened. I really like Tony Bennett. I think the story of the early bounce to a national championship the next year is one of the greatest stories in sports history. As far as just the wild ends of that are insane. So we'll see. That's a really interesting fallout and ripple effect. You mentioned the players. That's a big time job. Like there's all kinds of layers and levels to that that we'll pay attention to. But we'll take your commentary on it. Hey, Andrew and Rick, we do appreciate the video comments, and I mean that genuinely. I love the discussion. I get fired up about this, as I know a lot of people do. But yeah, these things that I come at with this are 20 years worth of having this conversation just like this with lots of different coaches, administrators, fans, all kinds of people. So bring it. Let's do it. Let's get to it. Next, though, we're going to get to some more Chiefs-Niners talks because there's a big injury for the Chiefs. And I was already confused on what to do. We got to make these picks in a half hour. And I was already confused. Now I'm even more confused on what to do with Chiefs Niners. We'll talk about that. I want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH. Appreciate their support. It's all Brockton Caster, Max Power Producing. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do the thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on KFH. Glad to be here with you on this Friday. Getting a little spicy in the first segment. I like it. I like it. It might get a little spicy as we make our way through the Chiefs. Tommy, Juju Smith-Schuster, limited in practice with a hamstring. What did we talk about yesterday? And it brings the same dang conversation to the forefront every single time. Do they need to do something? And will they do something? And I'm like, God, we just got done saying, well, what about behind Juju if something's happened? And boom, he's limited in practice with a hamstring. And hamstrings and wide receivers have a really bad history in the NFL. So it brings back this same thing. And it's, look, it's a problem in this game against the 49ers. For sure, it's a problem. It's a problem long term, though, again, because Juju's an older player. If he's got a hamstring injury, go ask Julio Jones or some of these guys that reach that age that start to deal with soft tissue injuries in their legs at wide receiver. Like, that stuff lingers. And so I don't know if this changes the likelihood at all that they do anything, but it does amplify my opinion that they need to do something.
Yeah, those two questions are vastly different. Should they do something and will they do something? They won't. I don't think this doesn't change my mind at all. I think the odds of a trade happening, and that's really what I mean specifically, an actual in-season trade, I don't see it happening. Whether or not they should, that's a completely different question.
Do you think they should? I know you think they won't. Do you think they should?
I think if it's the right move, I like Deontay Johnson. You and I have talked about it. I like him. I wouldn't have an issue whatsoever with them making some kind of trade if it made sense, if they didn't have to give up a bunch, if they were able to get somebody that, you know, had some control through next season. Like, I'd be okay with that in the right situation. My expectations would be tempered because usually it's really hard for a player coming in the middle of the season to have a big impact right away. But I'd be okay with that overall. I just don't think they're going to do it. I think what's probably more likely is if they're going to add anybody, it's going to be on the waiver wire. They're going to go and try to pick up a free agent who's just sitting out there and try to bring that person in. I have a hard time thinking that Brett Veach is going to give up any kind of capital to bring in anybody.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with that either. I think if they can find a more affordable option, they would really like to do that. I just don't know that that's going to be on the table. And if Juju's nicked up or banged up or has any significant injury, I don't think they get to be afforded that luxury. The reality is you're trying to win a third straight Super Bowl. The Chiefs are never in all in mode. And I've never asked them this directly, so it's a little speculative. I would imagine there is a little more of that this year than normal because of trying to make that history and knowing the way that, you know, the Hall of Famers in this locker room are wired, that they really would like to have the third straight, maybe more than if this were just a normal season. But I don't know if that bleeds into Brett Veach's office. I mean, I have no idea. And so that's the piece of it that makes it really hard. Like, are they willing to go more all in? But the one thing I will say, like, Brett Veach does have a history of going all in for an individual season. Again, the Frank Clark trade, the Orlando Brown trade.
In the
offseason. Let's put it this way. He has a history of pushing it all in to solve a problem
in the offseason
in a very obvious, but we also traded for Kadarius Toney.
That wasn't pushing it all. I mean, that was, you know, in the
third round pick.
Yeah. But it was a project at the time, right? Like, it was somebody that hadn't reached anywhere close to the potential
saying is he was willing to give up a third round pick in season.
I don't think he'd do it again. I don't think he would do
that again. Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It becomes more about the should than the will. And I think the will depends more on the players available, which we still, you know, in 2 weeks, that could vastly change. The should, though, to me, does change. The should amplifies now because the season that is happening, there is some bad fortune with injuries. And, you know, one day after we're racking our brains on what, like, then Juju's already nicked up. Like, it's kind of like the old Isaiah Pacheco thing. Like, is Pacheco really going to make it through a season with his running style? And not that that had anything to do with the way he was hurt this time, but the probability of that's pretty low.
Yeah. And did Brett Veach and the Chiefs go and trade for a running back after Pacheco went down?
That's not what I'm saying. No, they brought in Kareem Hunt. I'm saying is, like, we have to be real with Juju's likelihood to, like, let me put it this way. Can the Chiefs really afford to put all their eggs in the Juju Smith-Schuster basket?
No. No,
that's what it comes down to for me. As much as, like, if you told me he was going to be healthy every game the rest of the way, I would say, yes, they can. They can do that. But I don't think that's going to happen. And that's where the should amplifies for me. I don't think that the group they currently have, which I do think would be good enough if it needed to be, I don't think this group staying all. I mean, I don't think they're going to stay healthy. I just don't. And so there has to be some sort of reinforcement. Right now, I don't know the player that's on the scrap heap. Marquez Valdez-Scantling does not make this team better.
No, it makes the team worse. I mean,
so,
I think,
like, to me, that's if there's a player on the scrap heap, so to speak, then by all means, heck yeah, do that. I don't know who that player is right this second. So I think there are players that, you know, as Cooper Kupp returns this week and Puka Nacua is back, like, would the Rams be willing to entertain a DeMarcus Robinson trade? Probably not right now, but maybe in 2 weeks they would be. You can have those conversations now. Does Deontay Johnson make sense being a free agent next year? We love the player. We love the fit that way. But are you really going to do this if you're the Chiefs for a player that doesn't help you after this year when you have the Rashi Rice injury next? I doubt it. You know, Adam Thielen's going to come back. Is he out there? And I know he's got a soft tissue injury too, which is a little risky. But I think the reality is we're not going to know. It feels like a deadline kind of deal to me because the Chiefs sort of need things to settle out a little bit. They need more options to become available to them before they decide to make a move. Devontae Adams and Amari Cooper were very clear and obvious needs for teams that sort of had to make them if they wanted. Like, they didn't have much of a choice there, especially the Jets. And so those made sense to their timing. I don't think the Chiefs could lose the next two games, and I don't really care as far as it goes to what it'll take for them to win another Super Bowl. So I do think that patience will be the virtue for them, just in hopes that more players become available and you have more options to choose from.
Again, the question of whether or not they should and whether or not they will are extremely different. I really don't think, I mean, really everything could stay the same between now and the trade deadline, and we could have uncertainty about Juju's status, not only this week, but in the next couple of weeks before the trade deadline. And I just don't think that there's going to be a move made. I really believe that what we'll end up seeing is if there is depth needed, they will bump players up in the depth chart. To me, it means that you probably are going to see more Justin Watson. You're probably going to see more Sky Moore. You're going to see both of those guys probably playing more. You've got, you know, probably something happening with the practice squad in that regard, and then maybe somebody from the free agent pool that has not been signed yet this season. I don't think, honestly, I'm not excited about hardly any of them that are out there right now. I mean, Marquez Valdez-Scantling would not be good.
Richie James is also out there. Bring back Richie James before you bring back Marquez Valdez-Scantling if you want a retread.
If you wanted a name, you know, I guess a name, not necessarily somebody that could make an impact, Chase Claypool is out there. Hunter Renfro is out there.
Renfro is a stylistic fit. I don't know why he's unsigned, though, and that makes me curious that he's not physically 100%, because Renfro makes sense stylistically. He could be a target monster. If you need him to be. Now, he's a slot guy. I don't think Claypool's a deep shot guy. I don't think he helps you. He's kind of like Valdez-Scantling. They're just worse at what Xavier Worthy does. So,
and don't you think though? And again, this is only in relation to what I think and what, you know, overall what Brett Veach typically likes to do and the way that what his MO is, the way that he approaches things. I think that if you're presenting him the option of going and trading with the team and having to figure out cap space and figure out what the return to that other team is going to be, draft picks, whatever. And then if it's in the case of like a guy like Deontay Johnson, who's a free agent, and you might have to then have to figure out, can you get him renewed for next season? But then the other option is, hey, there are a couple of guys out here that are free agents that you can sign for the league minimum and just bring them in, and they can be a stopgap and they can help fill a spot on the depth chart. What do you think a guy like Brett Veach is going to be more likely to do? Probably that.
Correct. You do have the next year thing to factor in. That's why Deontay Johnson, and I don't know, like, there are, of course, variables in there too. What is Deontay Johnson's capacity to adapt within an offense quickly? I don't know. Like what is that on the old football video games? What's his awareness rating? Like, I don't know. I don't know. We'd have to see. And those are the things you got to lean into your scouts for and all that kind of stuff. I would tell you that Brett Veach is not scared to be wrong. He's not scared to take a risk. Doesn't mean he's going to, doesn't mean he has to. He's just not scared to. And the team may find themselves in a great deal of need soon. This weekend's a great test, though. Like, if Juju can't play and they beat the Niners still, like, maybe we just who cares, right? At that point, just run out whatever you want, and it's not that big a deal, and run 9 tight ends out there. But this may alter. I don't know what to do in our picks. I don't know what to do in our picks. But we're going to do those in the next hour, and it's going to be crazy. Let's take one more break here because we got Shocker Media Day was yesterday. A little bit of an update from Paul Mills on Mate and what's happening. I'm telling you, the vibes continue to be really, really good around Shocker basketball. It's good. IHOP Hotline's open for you. You can celebrate the weekdays with the new IHOP House Faves. All your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. That's at 869-1240. We'll give away some HTO later in the show as well. Stay tuned for that. Shocker Media Day yesterday. Real quick, Tommy, we want the update on Mate. We don't get the update on Mate that we want, only that Paul Mills is still optimistic that they'll get some news and they'll like the news that they get. They don't. The thing is the timing. It's with the NCAA. Like, you just don't know when, right? All we keep hearing, and TJ Cleland will be in next 7 to help pick football games, but he came back from that and said the same thing. Like, you can just tell from the coaches, from players, that they're excited about him, but it's not just him. Like, there is a buzz there inside that program that I think everybody is bullish. I am definitely that way. I think this is a team that should be able to and probably will compete for a league title. I'm getting pretty fired up about Shocker basketball. I am. And I really hope it all comes together because it feels like it has the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's really that opportunity with the newcomers that have come into the program, with the experience that they have, and you know, just being able to really have a complete and cohesive unit. And I think we can all admit, looking at a year ago, that really wasn't in place. There were pieces of it, but it didn't all come together, and it wasn't able to be executed.
Well,
and
eligibility stuff was a part of that.
It was,
right? Like, waiting on that and trying. So I don't like seeing that again, but I will talk to Paul Mills for 5 seconds, and you can understand it's a next level, like, basketball brain, right? And the things that they're doing. Time with just that, you know, is going to be a good thing, right? Just another year, all of that returning experience with some new talent that on paper does appear to fill some needs for them in a league that appears to be, we'll call it, down from a year ago. I think that's fair, at least of what we know now on the expectations coming in versus what we had with UAB and Memphis last year and all these things. And so I think the opportunity is right there, and I cannot wait for it. I cannot wait. And I really, really, really hope that this Croatian sensation is able to join the team and be what you can. Nobody wants to, like, outright say it, but I'm telling you, read between the lines on what you're hearing from coaches and players, and they're really excited about this guy. So we just wait and see, and they wait right there with us.
And look, it's not just inside the program or even here locally. I mean, you know, all you have to do is take a look at the preseason polls, and we know polls are polls, especially, you know, before a season starts. But the other coaches in the league, they, I think, are expecting a step up from Wichita State this coming season as opposed to last year. And so I think that all of that you can feed into a collective sense of optimism, I think, entering into this season, and that's good.
I totally agree. Totally agree. The coaches see it, and I think coaches' polls are valuable because they at least know something about the players coming in and out. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, football picks, everybody. Get ready. Tommy has the receipts for Jab this week, and we will sort through that. I don't think those are good to me this week. I don't remember, but I don't think they are. And at some point, got to make a decision on Chiefs-Niners. I guess now or never, a little bit. We'll make those picks. College football, NFL football, TJ Cleland, Brandon Zinner, Paul Savage join us next to do it. Don't go away.
and Odyssey Sports Station. This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you here. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Max Power producing. About to be joined by Paul Savage, TJ Cleland, Brandon Zinner, because we are making Friday football picks, and it's going to be. But before we do that, let's bring in the gang. We've got Brandon getting ready for a tea time, I believe. We've got TJ on his way to his bachelor party, and we have Paul Savage doing Paul Savage things, joining us in studio as well. Tommy, before we dig into this, how did we do last week?
Yeah, so it was a back and forth week depending on who you were. Paul had another good week at 4-2, extending his lead overall. TJ and I also both went 4-2, so it was a good week for the two of us as well. It gets TJ a couple more games over 500, and me back getting closer to that 500 mark. Jacob, unfortunately, you and Brandon both finished the week at 2-4.
Yeah, that's fine. I had a couple good weeks in a row. Nobody's crying here. Nobody's crying. We got this week to make it up. We're not even halfway through this bad boy. Maybe we are in college football. But let's do it. Let's get into some of these games. So we get a full slate this week. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had that. But we get KU, K-State, the Chiefs to pick, as well as some other really good games. And let's start in college football, and let's start with KU hosting Houston, coming off of a bye, 5.5-point favorites. Paul, your good week lets you lead off this
Beautiful.
Week.
Let's do it.
I mean, this is the one, right, against Houston. But do you have any confidence to lay 5.5 points with KU?
You know something? This is a game that if it wasn't KU, would you even watch this game? I mean, if you were from the state of Oklahoma or Texas, say you're from Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're not watching this game, are you, Tommy? I don't think you're watching this game.
I don't know what I'd be doing if I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah, there you go. Going with the balloon rides. Yeah. That's probably what you'd be doing. But with that being said, you know, I think we're sleeping on Houston. You know, I think Houston is that monster ready to be released, ready to make a run. I think Houston might be the best worst team in the United States. What do you think of that? That's what I think. So I think I'm going to go ahead and take Houston. I think I like the points because I'm getting some points. 5.5 points. I'm taking Houston. I'll probably be on an island on this one.
Oh, Tommy, do you agree with that? This is hard. It's hard anytime we're dealing with KU here.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that. I think that this is the week, especially coming off a bye. It has allowed Lance Leipold to, you know, get some time to take stock of that program and what has been happening and how in the world to turn it around. And what's fortunate for the Jayhawks is that off of that bye, they get a team like Houston, which they're not a good team. They're not a sleeping giant. They're not good. And so I think that Kansas gets it figured out. I think they right the ship. Maybe we'll have egg on my face when it's all said and done, but I'm going to ride with Kansas and lay the 5.5.
Tommy. But this is football we're talking about. This isn't basketball. This is football.
TJ, you had your decent week last week as well. What are you feeling on this one?
All that I'm feeling right now is that we need to get the picks fired up quicker because we're about to cross the Kansas State line into Oklahoma. So I need to know what I need to do.
Uh-oh.
Here. I'm going to say that KU might be the first 0-5 team against FBS teams to be favored by 5.5 points. That's unheard of, that I think. This line should definitely be like a pick 'em in my eyes. I think KU will win this game, but I think that there's no chance.
Yeah, Brandon, are you comfortable laying the number?
I'm comfortable with Houston getting points. This game, if I believe right, KU opened up at 7.5, 8.5, and it's been bet all the way down now to 5.5. And Paul's been doing something right, so I'm gonna hop on board with him. Either I drag him down or he lifts me up. So,
there you go. I'm gonna lift you up, my son.
I'll take KU.
Hey, come on. Give me an island here, man. Jacob. Come on.
The only reason is I'm gonna throw Lance Leipold a bone on being a great coach that can do something with a bye week to get the offense did look better in the last game. For the first time, it looked like it wasn't broken. Maybe if the defense is going to be unbroken, they're not going to have a better opportunity than this. I'll reluctantly take the Jayhawks. K-State at West Virginia, 2.5-point favorites on the road. Tommy, are you okay with that with the Cats?
Everything in my being screams trap game for the Wildcats coming into Morgantown, coming off of the Colorado game a week ago where, it, you know, there was so much flash and everything was in place in Boulder, taking on Coach Prime, and the Wildcats get a big emotional win and all of that. And then having to go into Morgantown the very next week and take on a West Virginia team that, let's face it, they're pretty pissed off, especially after losing to Iowa State last weekend. Everything in me says trap game, but I think Chris Klieman has a recipe figured out on the way to break that. I'm actually going to take Kansas State. I'm going to lay the 2.5.
Okay. It is 2.5 now, which is interesting, by the way. It was at 3.5 and then to 3. I like it at 2.5. I was very concerned at 3.5. I might like it now as an actual bet. 3.5 was going to be weird with that hook. 2.5, field goal? Yeah, give me that. I'll take the Cats. I think this will be a little ugly, but the Cats can't afford to lose. So I'll keep going that road with it. They can't afford a loss. TJ?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, Jacob. If it was 3.5, I probably would be taking West Virginia. But I think that this is a game that K-State, it'll be a lot like the Colorado game and the fact that they may have to come back on the final drive, and they won that one by just a field goal, too. So I'm going to take K-State in this one to cover.
Brandon, you agree?
They were able to get out of a hostile environment last week with a win. It was an ugly game, a lot of penalties. Avery wasn't able to use his legs a whole lot. I think Avery's going to have a chance to run a little bit more this week, and the Cats are going to get another big road win in Big 12 play. Give me the Cats.
Paul, you got a chance for an island if you want to take West Virginia. You going to take a tough guy?
You know, tough guy, huh?
You going to take that tough guy?
Yeah, you talk like that when you're like 30 miles away, don't you? Huh? That's how this works. But I'll tell you this right now. West
trying
Virginia,
to goad you into it.
I know, I can see that. But you know, West Virginia's kind of my surprise team. Tommy, I think this team has surprised me. I think it surprised a lot of people. I did not expect them to be this good. I think West Virginia is not as good as Kansas State. But at home, getting 2.5, I'll go ahead and take West Virginia. You know, I didn't get to be the leader by just screwing around and sitting on my laurels. That's right, screwing around. I'm not screwing
Wait,
around.
Sitting on your what?
Sitting on my laurels.
Oh, okay.
What are laurels? Anyway, I'm taking West Virginia. What do you think of that? Thanks for the island.
I think I just baited you into that is what I think. All right, Georgia and Texas. Texas is a 4.5-point favorite, TJ. I think everybody in the world, this feels trappy to me, too. Longhorns at home, though. 4.5, you good with that number?
I'll be in Texas all weekend, so there's no chance that I'm betting against the Longhorns. They may win by 100 in this game just because I'm down there, but I do think that they're going to play really well. We talked about this. Even if Quinn Ewers doesn't have it, they can go to the bench and they can go to Arch Manning. I think that this is going to be the first time that they may actually do it for real if Georgia defense gives them some trouble. So give me Texas to cover this one.
Brandon, what do you think?
Well, the fact that TJ is in Texas worries me and makes me want to lean Georgia just a little bit. But I mean, this Texas defense is, by all metrics and all eye tests, the best in the country. And I think they just have enough big game experience. This is a really good Texas team. I think they're the best team in the country. Give me the Longhorns at home.
Oh, Paul, I don't know what to do with this one. Where are you at?
You don't want me to go? I'll go right now. Right now, I can see where the money's going. And on this particular show, it's going to Texas. By the way, I had a friend of mine buy Final Four football tickets for Arlington.
Oh, in the CFP?
Yeah, and Final Four. And with fees, we're talking in the $800 range, and you don't even know who you're going to see. But you figure by if it's Final Four, they're probably going to be some good football teams, right?
So you would think.
You would think. So anyway, but that's kind of interesting. I think Georgia can win this game outright. I think Georgia is still a good football team. Is it as good as Texas? No. But sometimes teams like Georgia step up and they say, you know something, not today. I don't care if it's their house, not today. They're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder. They're being supplanted by this weird team from Texas. I think Georgia prevails. and I think Georgia wins outright. But you're going to give me 4.5? Fine with me. I'm taking Georgia.
My problem is I don't want any reason in my brain to not root for Texas to win this game. I may be in the minority, but I hope Texas and Oklahoma blow that conference up, not go to that conference and fail. I don't want any reason to sit there and watch that game and be like, oh, I hope I get my Friday pick right. Let's go Georgia. No, I'm going to take Texas for that reason alone.
All right.
Tommy, you going to leave Paul to Georgia Island?
Man, it's really, really hard to give Paul back-to-back islands. I really like Texas a lot. And really, it's because of what Brandon said. Their defense is awesome.
Their defense against Oklahoma's backup quarterback and sixth-string wide receiver.
Yeah, but it's not just in the Georgia game last week. It's been throughout the season. Their defense has been pretty stout. But it's crazy to me that in this year's world, and you know, because of everything that's happened and Georgia and all that, you've got a team that, in the Bulldogs, coached by Kirby Smart, that they were the kings of college football. They have been the kings of college football for the last couple of years, and they're getting points in the SEC against a conference opponent. That is really difficult to wrap my head around, even if it is reality. So yeah, it's hard for me to give Paul an island. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and take Georgia. Okay. I'm going to take the points. It wouldn't shock me if Texas blows out Georgia, but I'm going to take Georgia. I'm going to take the points.
I'm also still crying foul that nobody told me when I took Oklahoma last week that they were on their backup quarterback and six-string wide receiver. I had no idea that was happening when I thought Oklahoma. Whatever. All right, that's college. Let's go to the pros. There are so many good pro games this week. It was hard to take three. We'll start with Houston and Green Bay. The Packers are 3-point favorites at home in this game to the Texans. Brandon, these all feel like coin flips. These games we're going to pick to me. Which way are you going on this one?
Yeah, this one is this is probably the toughest game when I look at the slate of which way to go. I really just like this Texas team, but I think this Packers team with Jordan Love fully back healthy, I just like what they're able to do. They blew the brakes off at home last week, and I think they're going to have a chance to cover again at home. Give me the Pack.
DJ, Brandon's going home team. Where are you going with it?
The Packers have only lost one game in North America this year, and it was to the Minnesota Vikings, so you can't fault them for that. The Vikings are an absolute wagon this year, so I'm going to pick the Packers to keep it rolling. They're covering 3 this week.
Paul?
Well, you know something? I said in the preseason, before we even started the NFL season, that I wouldn't have been surprised to see the Texans in a championship game. I just wouldn't be surprised to see that. I think for that reason, and I'm still not quite the Jordan Love fan. I mean, I'm just not. I can't bring myself yet. I probably will be. It's not there yet. I'm going to go ahead and take Houston. And by the way, I might end up being on an island on this one.
Tommy, what do you think about that?
Man, it was really impressive to see what Green Bay did to the Cardinals last week. I thought that they would cover, but I didn't think that they would blow out Arizona. I thought that it would be a more competitive game. That was surprising to me, just the margin of victory that the Packers had. But are we forgetting about C.J. Stroud? Are we forgetting about the Texans?
I'm not.
I know you're not, Paul, but like in my mind, I've thought this all season long that Houston, maybe outside of Baltimore, is the only other legitimate threat in the AFC to be the representative in the Super Bowl. I mean, I think Houston is there and really can, you know, be that legitimate contender for a Super Bowl title. You know, I'm going to take the Texans. I mean, them getting points, again, it was really impressive what the Packers did. I love C.J. Stroud. I love Houston. I'm going to take the Texans, and I'm going to take the points.
I got to break the tie then. The bet that I will make on this game is the over. Texans are missing Nico Collins. They showed you last week that C.J. Stroud will be just fine without him. Jordan Love's finally got all his weapons for the first time too. So the over is the actual play in the game that I like. I will just take the points in a coin flip game. I've got the three. I really think C.J. Stroud is even better than we think he is. I think Jordan Love's good too, but I'll just take the points. I think it's that close. Just give me the points. Give me the Texans. Detroit at Minnesota. Brandon, you can lead us off with this one because I know you're foaming at the mouth for it. Your Vikings are 1.5-point favorites at home. Detroit did what it did against Dallas last week. It's debatable how impressive that is, depending on what you think about the Cowboys. But can they cover this home spread coming off a bye?
Dallas sucks. Minnesota doesn't. Give me the Vikings.
Correct. Yeah.
Love that.
Yep, that's good. TJ? TJ, what do you have in this one? All right, TJ's got reception issues, I believe. Paul, we'll go to you next.
Well, you know something? Obviously, I'm a fan of Detroit. I'm actually a Dan Campbell fan is what I am. But with that being said, something bad really happened in the last game they played, and that, of course, is the injuries to the fine young defensive end, Hutchinson. And it was just a shame to see it. I hate to see it. I can't ever see it. I will not see the replay. I don't want to see it. Of that injury, I'm just sick about that whole thing. And that can have an effect on a football team. And, of course, you're not going to replace him. I mean, you're going to get a fine athlete. You're going to get a fine defensive end back in. But what does that do with the mental set of this football team? I think it could be a problem the first time out. Or it might be, well, let's play for Hutchinson. I think I will go ahead and take Detroit. But I'm not doing it with the confidence of a situation with a team because I don't know the mental state of this team, but I'll go ahead and take Detroit.
TJ, we got you back. One for the Vikings, one for Detroit. Which way are you leaning?
I'm losing service here. We're not in the great state of Kansas anymore, as you can tell. I'm going to pick the Vikings. They're the cash cow of the year. I've made so much money on them. I'm just going to keep riding with them. I'm going to pick the undefeated team to stay undefeated. I don't care who they're playing. They've shown it so far. They're going to keep doing it.
Tommy, I think at least the lines have caught up to the Vikings. I don't think you're getting a discount on them anymore. But, you know, on a neutral field, Detroit would, you know, if the field's worth 3 points, then it would say Detroit's a slight favorite. Do you buy that?
Well, the Vikings are coming off of a bye, which I think is helpful, but also the last time out for Minnesota, I know that they're undefeated, but that was the first time we saw Sam Darnold not have a great game. I mean, he didn't throw for any touchdowns. He threw for an interception. The yards passing, not great compared to what we had seen in previous weeks. That is a little bit concerning, you know, because I don't think that anybody really thought that Darnold was going to get off to the start overall that he has. Is this a trend or was it just a one-off? Knowing the history of Sam Darnold, I'm concerned that it might be a trend. Give me Detroit. Give me the points. I'm going to take the Lions.
Aaron Jones looks like he's going to play in this game. That's probably my deciding factor. I'll take the Vikings. I as much as I liked the over, I'm surprised this total is bigger than Texans-Packers, by the way the Vikings have played defense. I'm going to take the Vikings. I think until they prove they can get to a quarterback without Hutchinson, I think he's responsible for something like 65% of their quarterback pressures this year, something absurd like that. I can't get behind that until I see it at least one time. Because if you leave Darnold upright, he's gonna shred anybody. So I'll take the Vikings this week, and I think Aaron Jones is a big factor in it with him being back. All right, here's the one: Chiefs, Niners that I have struggled with. The Niners are 1.5-point favorites. I'll go first here, and I'm going to say right now that I reserve the right with my wallet to change my mind on this.
Okay.
But if Juju Smith-Schuster is out, I'm going to take the 49ers. And right now he's got a hamstring injury and he's limited in practice. So without seeing today's practice report, assuming that he's limited or if he's out, I'm going to take the 49ers. If Juju plays, I will probably switch that actually this weekend. It's a game I'm not going to bet until kickoff because I've got to see if Juju plays. I'll, for sake of these picks, assume that he is not. And in that scenario, I'll take the 49ers. You know, the Chiefs after a bye are really good. You got to go all the way back to last year to find the last time they lost coming out of a bye week. They did that last year. So I'll take the 49ers. Tommy?
Well, my justification in picking this game is basically on a bunch of trends. And you mentioned one, the Chiefs and Andy Reid off of a bye week, Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. The Chiefs are 4-1 against the spread this season. Even in the games that have been really close, they've covered the number 4 out of their 5 games. And we want to talk about injuries. I know the Chiefs have a couple, but the Niners have a bunch. So because of all of that, if I'm going to get points as Kansas City as an underdog, give me those points. Give me the Chiefs. I think that they stay undefeated. I think they win outright, but I'm going to take the points for sure.
Paul, you love line play. You've got Nick Bosa up against struggling left tackles for the Chiefs. That's a factor we haven't even really talked about yet. Which side of this are you on?
Well, this is going to be probably the most fun game to watch of all of them, obviously, with Kansas City. It's always fun with Mahomes. But, you know, you bring up a point, because I always like to take a look, and particularly in the NFL, of physicality. And you're right, Bosa's something special. But Kansas City, you know, they can get pushed in the middle. They can do those kind of things, too. My deciding factor, I guess, would be McCaffrey. He's not playing. And that's one of those deals where, man, he's a difference maker for that football team. And the fact that he's not playing, and even though they're, what, six games into him not playing, it's still a factor for me. I'm going to take Kansas City. They cover. I don't know that they win by a bunch, but I hope they cover, but they will win this game.
Brandon, it feels like an underplay to me with the injuries there, but we got to pick it against the spread. Which side of this are you on?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know what is that, probably around 42.5 or something.
47. It's at 47.
40, yeah, I would hammer that under. It feels like it's just going to be a back and forth, control the time of possession, control the ball. Both of these teams are super banged up, but my pick just comes down to one factor, and that's Patrick Mahomes off a bye with points. It's hard to go against that. I don't have as much confidence in this one, but I just trust Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to make just enough plays. And Spags, remember, the 49ers tried to hire Spags in the offseason. He might give him a little reminder of, yeah, this is why you guys wanted to bring me in. Give me that Chiefs defense to do just enough to cover.
TJ, we know about the Super Bowls with Mahomes over the Niners. He has shredded them in two regular season games historically. Those, you got to go kind of back for those, so I don't know how much of that carries over. But we're looking for trends in this game. Where are you at with this one?
Well, first of all, who would have thought that in the year 2024 we were basing our lines off of Juju Smith-Schuster injuries for the Kansas City Chiefs? So that's a wild thought. I'm going to pick the Chiefs. You know, Patrick Mahomes as an underdog in his career, historically one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time as an underdog, in the rarity that he is an underdog. So I think that trend's going to continue on. And the 49ers just have a couple of bad losses. It's not the 49ers team that we all thought it was going to be in the preseason, thus far at least. I think the Chiefs are going to get it done. I think they'll win by multiple points.
I do think these are still the two best teams in their respective conferences. No offense to Brandon's Vikings. If they get healthy by the postseason, they're not healthy right now by any means. Fellas, it's going to be, I think we're going to be all over the place. These are all insanely difficult games this week. TJ, don't do anything I wouldn't do on your bachelor party this weekend. Enjoy the time there. Tell the gang in the car that we said hello here. Brandon, hit him straight today.
It's 50 mile an hour winds. I have no idea why I'm out here, but
low.
In the honor of seeing the esteemed Taylor Eldridge today, so I had an opportunity.
Texas Panhandle Golf, hit him low.
Wow,
low line drives.
That's it.
That's all you can do.
I just hit it.
Paul, stick around. We got more to talk about.
I will.
Let's come back. Let's dig a little more into this Chiefs Niners game. It is a fascinating one. Fascinating. We're going to talk more about it when we return. More Sports Daily right after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
You want to win some HTO? You can right now. A free iced tea, free iced or hot coffee, one of each by texting the keyword tea, TEA, to the short code 20357. These gifts are available at any of the Wichita Metro locations, two in Wichita, one in Derby. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, win some HTO. Text the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. Jason, we appreciate the nice words. Says our pick segment is his favorite of the week. Loves the banter. He's cheering for Team Castor and Team Upside Down Pineapple, which would be me to win the week. I've taken a lot of heat for that.
Love that.
In the last 48, 96 hours or whatever. Appropriately, yeah. I deserve it.
Yeah, by the
I don't
way.
Know how I, yeah. Yes, Paul.
I went through my trove.
No, the answer is no, Paul. Absolutely not.
No, I got you. I went through my trove of shirts. I've got two of them that have pineapples. None of them are upside down, though. What,
there you go. You know, you're safe. So, or maybe you're not safe.
No, no.
Maybe
I was wanting one. I wanted to find one, and I was going to wear it Wednesday, but I don't have one.
Well, hey, here's a little tease that Paul and I had to switch some days, and so Paul will be on Tuesday next week.
That's right.
I will be on Wednesday, so I'm trying to figure out what the heck I'm going to do.
Do you even have one?
Act like you don't own a Hawaiian shirt.
We'll see.
Of course.
I'll bring you one.
No. Of course. I'm okay, Paul. Thank you. Thank you for the offer. I'm okay.
Guys, this Chiefs Niners game, it's so wild. I cannot wait for it. I don't know that there is a team that I have historically, since betting has become legal in the state of Kansas, lost more money with than the 49ers. I can't ever get them right. They always let me down as far as betting. I'm going to have a hard time going with the Chiefs if Juju's not there. These trends are wild. Kansas City lost out of the bye week last year. They lost coming out of the bye. And so I don't know what to do with the trends. Mahomes has killed them, but in the Super Bowls, it's been like one play kind of games. I got to tell you, I'm worried about Nick Bosa versus those left tackles. And worried, not just for this game, but I'm worried for any heat Mahomes ever takes. And there, it's going to have to be quick. And without Juju, that quick pass game seems limited more than normal, Tommy.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to ultimately defer to the ball coach sitting next to me, who's worked on the line for a number of years, to really get his assessment of that. But, I mean, there are some things that the Chiefs could do and probably should do to be able to try to help out on the left tackle, and that may very well mean like getting – a tight end or two, yep, to help block, a running back block, with that sort of thing, to try to slow down Nick Bosa to an extent. Because, I do agree that there is there's an issue at left tackle. I mean, because Wanya Morris, I think we all know that play has overall been underwhelming this year, at least at that position for Kansas City on the line. The middle of the line has been really solid, of course, but that's been an issue. And so I do think that there are some things that the Chiefs probably could and should do to help make that better. Is that a fair assessment, Paul?
I think it's a wonderful assessment, because what I was going to say was more than likely you're going to see Kansas City keeping a back end in the backfield and help chip off on those defensive ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably the first thing you do, because what you do is you do it with numbers.
Yeah.
If you want to equalize.
Kareem Hunt does that well. That's one of the things he does very well.
Yeah. And of course, what happens is, you get used, the defense gets used to seeing the defensive, or see the offensive back. He's in the backfield. He's blocking. All of a sudden he slips out in the flats. Nobody's around. The receivers to that side run off all the DBs, run them off, and you drop it off out into the flat. And, you pick up 20, 25 yards. That's what's going to happen. But you're right, Tommy. when you have a problem like that, you're going to compensate. I doubt if they compensate with tight ends.
Okay.
I don't think, now I could be wrong, but they might have a package where they will do that. But I think a running back, we're going to see the game start out with running backs hanging around, you know. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see. Tommy was exactly right, knew exactly the right thing, to say. So I'm looking forward, of course, to Patrick Mahomes. I took Kansas City because when you wonder about the bet with Kansas City Chiefs, think of Patrick Mahomes, and that'll help you, you know, feel at ease with your pick. Anytime you take Kansas City on anything, you got Patrick Mahomes. That's not a bad weapon to have in your arsenal if you're making these kind of picks.
It's always the safest thing in a game where the spread is basically a pick 'em. It's always safe to just take Mahomes. I totally agree. I would say this, though. At least out of the gates to me, it doesn't take a genius to know that both of these teams would like to and would be benefited by establishing the run right out of the gates. That's one of the reasons I really think it feels like an under game. I don't think the Chiefs have any interest in putting Patrick Mahomes in that kind of a situation with Bosa. I think they'd love to run the ball. You know, Fred Warner is one of the best in the business, but I think they'd love to run the ball. We know the Niners always want to run the ball. And so I think we're going to see a little of that early, kind of that, you know, tug of war early on of a lot of action from the running backs in this game. Thank goodness Kareem Hunt's here, right? We may see some Carson Steele in this game, but, if I'm Andy Reid and I'm coming up with a game plan and I know that Juju's limited and all the different things that are happening in this game, I'm looking at this and saying, all right, what is the strength of this team? It is that interior offensive line. We're going up against a defense that, while it's not an amazing defense this year, it's chock full of playmakers. If I can, I want to establish that run. I will bet you Kareem Hunt sees north of 20 carries. I think it will be north of 25 carries, but I bet it's north of 20. And I think both of these teams are going to do everything they can to establish that before they do anything else.
Here's the other thing, too. You can't make an impact or think that there will be a large impact with the injuries that the Chiefs have without also taking into account all of the injuries that the Niners have. And they are way more banged up than Kansas City is. I mean, all you have to do is look at the injury report and the number of players that are on both teams' report from yesterday, and it's like double for San Francisco than it is for Kansas City. Of course, Christian McCaffrey's been out the entire season, but Jordan Mason has been limited all this week in practice. Juwan Jennings hasn't practiced. I don't know if he'll practice today. He didn't practice on Wednesday. He didn't practice on Thursday. And there wasn't anything in their game last week against the Seahawks that would indicate that he was injured. It's a hip injury, apparently, that's concerning. Deebo Samuel has been limited by injuries. On the defense, Charvarius Ward has been limited. And there are several others also, but there are some big-time playmakers for the Niners that are banged up, and we don't know what their status is going into this game. So if we're going to say that there's an impact with Juju Smith-Schuster potentially dealing with the hamstring and, you know, some of the other injuries that, you know, the Chiefs are dealing with, you also have to take into account how banged up the Niners are.
I think that's right. A couple others, injury report, I'm glad you mentioned it. Deebo has been limited. I think he's expected to play, as will Ayuk. They also get their rookie, Ricky Pearsall, back, I believe. He's been a full participant. The one that if I'm, you know, in a game where the line is at 1.5 and we all expect it will be close, the 49ers have a kicker issue right now. Jake Moody has been banged up. He hasn't been practicing. So that could absolutely be a factor in this if he's not able to go. The Chiefs injury report is short. It's very short.
Yeah.
Now they get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. I don't know how much he'll play. They get Derek Nnadi back. I think Juju's the one, though.
Yeah.
And only because it on the injury report, we're not seeing Rashi Rice and Isaiah Pacheco and Hollywood Brown, because they're on IR basically. You know, so we're not seeing them on the injury report, but they're on the injury report. They're not playing in this game. So, again, if Juju goes in this game, I will go with the Chiefs. Like, if we get it today and it was just precautionary and he's a full participant or whatever, and we think, I'm not going to touch this game until Sunday at what time would we get that? About 2:00 when we get, you know, inactives. If Juju goes, I'll take the Chiefs. If he does not, I think I'll take the 49ers. Unless that kicker's out.
I just don't think. I mean, look, like, yeah, Juju, from a volume perspective, sure, is important, but I'm not basing I pick this game on Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, I think that's putting way too much stock in his importance in this game.
It is, and I don't mean that like everything lies on Juju Smith-Schuster. It's the unknown, though, for me, that in a game this close, I don't know exactly what the Chiefs will do without that position filled. It's not as obvious as it was last week to me with the Saints. Well, they'll just throw to a ton of tight ends and be good. Teams have attacked the 49ers with tight ends. It's a road game. It's a road game, and the Chiefs have had all the good fortune this year. I will probably land back with the Chiefs, but on this day with that injury in a tight contest, I like the under. I'm gonna bet the under. That's what I'm actually gonna bet. I can't wait for this game. I can't wait for all of these games. We got Ravens Bucks this week. Yeah. There are marquee games on the schedule this week in the NFL. That we didn't even get to. I don't know how we're supposed to get anything accomplished this weekend. Hey, you want to do something fun Saturday night, babe? Yeah, no, that sounds good. Oh, you know what? We got K-State, out in West Virginia, and we got Texas, Georgia at 6:30.
But on the flip side, I mean, can we be honest that the Sunday night game is a stinker? Like, if you're going to get out and do anything, Sunday night would be the game. It's the Jets and the Steelers. Like, I don't care about that game at all.
I'm kind of in on that.
Really?
I'm kind of in on that from a storyline game.
Like, we get the Jets in prime time again. Like, come on.
I know. I don't know how this happened. That's too risky. You can't do that. There's too much unknown with the Jets. But I think the storylines of that one are pretty juicy. Not like last night when we had Broncos Saints. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, good for the Broncos for doing what they needed to do, Paul. Like, that's what should have happened with what the Saints are dealing with, but with injuries right now. Mm-hmm. You talk about that's about as borderline unwatchable in the NFL as
well. I started it and then I got out of it pretty quick. And I don't know. I watched some lines on my television go across. That was about more entertaining than that game. But with that being said, don't sit on the Jets. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and what's going on with the Jets is a fascinating situation with regards to. I'm fascinated to wait and see how did the Jets do now that they've had a head coach fired right in the middle of the season and you've got one of the great quarterbacks of all time and Aaron Rodgers running the program. Let's see what happens. I think this is setting up, Tommy, to be like a melodrama.
Yeah.
Like a soap opera.
And that's my problem with it is that all of
I like that. You don't like it?
Here's my issue with this matchup is that the storylines for this game with both of these teams really have very little to do with actual football. It has very little to do actually what's going on the field. It's the drama with the Jets and the personnel, and of course, Saul is out and Rodgers, and they bring in Devontae Adams. Like, there's all of this, stuff swirling around. And then even with the Steelers, you've got a quarterback controversy with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Like, it's not, for me, about, like, I don't think that the conversation on Monday morning will be about how the game itself actually played out. It's going to be more about the things that are not actually related to the on-field play.
Yeah.
I probably disagree with that. I actually think we've got two teams that are not at the top of the scrap heap in the AFC, but they're in the mix, at least as far as I think both these teams could be playoff teams, that are trying to, like, I would like to know what the absolute upside of both of these teams are.
Okay.
I know that the Jets looked better offensively in game one without Salah Hackett, basically, than they have. And now they just added Devontae Adams. I kind of want to see what that looks like. And for the Steelers, we talked about it yesterday for just a second. Like, if they could ever find a quarterback, right? I don't know if it's Russell Wilson. I don't think it's Russell Wilson.
Not many think that.
But I do think that there's at least some level of possibility that he's a better fit than Justin Fields in the offense. So in what's a conservative offense and all of these things for a conservative quarterback who probably was not as bad in Denver as he was blamed for everything. So I do think there's intrigue. I would just like to know if at any point we think either of those teams could end up being contenders in the playoffs right now. I don't think either of them are, but they both just made moves that could swing the pendulum a little bit. So I'm in on that game, but it doesn't matter. The other games that we've talked about are far greater far better, far more interesting, including that Chiefs-Niners game, which is just, man, I hope it's as good as we think it will be and should be and can be. And it's as hard to predict. There's just so many different factors. Like, there's so many different factors between the injuries, everything. It's wild. It's going to be good. You'll hear it, by the way, over on the home of Chiefs football, KNSS, 2 o'clock coverage beginning there. Pregame coverage is 3:25 kick. So that'll be there for you over on KNSS. Make sure you find it there. The IHOP hotline is back open, by the way, where you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves. All your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. It's 869-1240. I guess Tony Bennett just didn't like the state of college athletics. He's given his presser right now, quote, "The game in college athletics just not in a healthy spot. I think I was equipped to do the job the old way." Got no problem with that. Somebody's going to take that spot. Man, I do have a problem with doing it right now. Well, we could have done that a long time ago.
It's different, though. That.
It is different, but why not do that in April?
Well, like, he did say that he had been sort of re-energized and re-motivated about, you know, moving forward. He'd been thinking about it for a while. But in the spring, something had happened where he, I think it was maybe the incoming class or something he was excited about. But then there was some trip he took with his wife like a month ago where he wanted to reevaluate his priorities and determine that it was the right time.
You know something?
Then do it a month ago.
Well, but that sometimes, you know, the aura of whatever's going on hits you at a different time. Here's the problem.
I guess.
Here's the problem. He didn't want to have to play the money game. It's this as simple as that. I'm just sure. He doesn't want to play the NIL game. He doesn't.
100%.
He doesn't want to say. He doesn't want to.
Didn't step aside, and he did.
He doesn't want to lose a kid because Ole Miss is going to pay some kid he wanted $100,000 more for the year than he can pay. That's what he got tired of. Because right now, let's face it, how important is money? Like, real important.
Look, I'm kind of the opinion that, yeah, while I don't feel bad for him for walking away, I'm also not going to begrudge him for walking away either. Yeah, it's not what he wanted to do anymore. In the same way that, like, if I didn't like the state of what I was doing every day, there wouldn't be sympathy for me to walk away, and people, like, somebody would fill my role. But also, I wouldn't feel like people needed to begrudge me either for doing it. Like, I'm
right.
Fine with the fact that he wants to walk away.
Right.
Happy for him. If he does, if his heart isn't in it anymore, then great.
Go and
do something else.
I am too. I agree. I wish he could have had better timing because it puts his players in a tough spot, puts his university in a tough spot. So I think that probably bothers me a little bit, but again,
what do you think
we're all
is better, though? Do you think it's better for him to step aside a couple of weeks before the season, or to go through an entire season not having his heart in it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point.
And then
the
program could absolutely implode because the coach is not bought in, he's not committed, he's not into it.
Something tells me he's already figured out this program's not going to win a lot. That's part of the reason. I guarantee
that's an interesting point, too.
That's part of the reason that he's not wanting to do this. And by the way, we've come such a far way, Tommy. I don't think you were doing a show about 3 years ago?
I've been on for about two years.
Well, Jacob, you remember about 3 years ago when NIL was just getting started and everybody was trying to keep it secret? KU and K-State weren't wanting to tell people what they're paying these players and all that kind of stuff. And you remember we did a show one time where I said, well, I happen to know that some of the local kids were getting around $250,000 for NIL. Do you remember that? And all the schools were trying to keep it quiet and what's going on, who's getting what. And what the way it turns out, Tommy, is that the secret was let out because an athlete would tell grandma what he was going to get. Grandma, I'm getting $250,000 to go to this particular university.
Did grandma tell you? Is that how you knew?
No, but grandma told everybody at church.
Okay. Gotcha.
She told everybody at church, my little baby's going to get $250,000. Yeah. So how long do you think that secret lasted? So now that was part of the evolution of NIL. Because let's face it. They were going to try to keep this all from us. They didn't want us to know anything.
I'm just thinking about.
I would imagine that there were NFL coaches who loved the model without free agency, right?
Yeah,
they loved it.
Absolutely,
they can draft players and keep them forever.
Sure, that's exactly right.
Then free agency comes, and it's like, well, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't nearly as easy. All these players I invest this time in, they could just leave at any point. And guess what? We got free agency.
The only bargaining power in the NFL for years that players had was right when they were coming out of college and they were being drafted before free agency. Like, I'm not going to go and play for that team. Do not draft me. I'm not going to, like John Elway, so, I'm not going to play.
John Elway's perfect.
You know, but now it's different.
I bring that up because we adapted to free agency.
Right.
There's no lack of coaching, great coaches, anything in the NFL because free agency happened. There's not going to be a lack of great coaches in college athletics because NIL and eventually revenue sharing is happening. Some will adapt and some will go right off into the sunset.
Right.
Great. But I'm not going to blame the change. The change is the right thing to do. Free agency was the right thing to do. So don't blame the change for why some of these guys are stepping away. They're making that choice themselves. Not everybody's making that choice. They are. Great for them. But the game's changing. Get on board or get out.
And for people that, you know, have said, well, the old way was better. Okay, well, you know, the forward pass had been outlawed at the very beginning of the game of college football. And we've moved on, and now it's an integral part of the game. Right? Like, I know it's different because that's an actual rule in the game or whatever, not the way that players are compensated. But I just reiterate what I said at the very top of the show. I can't imagine there's anybody out there, maybe I'm wrong, but anybody out there that watches a college football game or a college basketball game now that NIL is part of it, and they think about the amount of money the player's being made as they're watching the game, and it lessens their enjoyment of the game. And if you are a person like that, you're a fool. You're a fool for letting it impact your enjoyment of the game. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, because if you don't like it, just don't watch it.
Right? Well, I do get frustrated with free agency in baseball.
Why? What?
Because they
make so much money?
No, well, part of it is because nowadays I always like to see a player come and go and stay and be a part of a baseball. I go back to Mickey Mantle and those kind of days. I want those days back where guys go and stay.
They stay with the team the entire time.
And stay with what's wrong with that? This is pro.
Yep.
That's great for the team. All right, we'll come right back. We'll tell you what's on the networks today.
Plumbing troubles? Call the experts at Superior Plumbing, your best choice for brand name parts.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.